And welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. Shouting out to all our listeners in the oddest places. Apparently, we have a listener in Seoul, in South Korea, my Seoul brother. All right. We have a very special guest for you, ladies and gentlemen. And occasionally, apparently, many people around the world are having the kids taken off them for no effing good reason through very, very corrupt means, scumbags, and hushed I say, pedophiles working for the government. One such person who's had to suffer this terrible event, like many others, is David Kogler, who's coming at us live from Waiheke Island, the same small town that Will lives in. David, welcome to the program.
Hi. How you going?
Well, you know, probably a lot better than you at this point, mate. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's pretty awful, mate. Now, would you give us a bit of a background? I mean, which child of yours is missing?
We had twins sort of at the beginning of 2010. It was an induced sort of it was a really terrible. It was not a planned pregnancy. So we sort of, you know, and it was actually triplets initially, fraternal triplets, so separate eggs essentially, and each one was half the size of the other one. And through the proceedings, the smallest one basically disappeared, and so we're just left with two. And they had to be induced sort of at 30 weeks, so they're premature, and ever since then we've sort of been hounded by the Child, Youth and Family Services. You know, every move has been closely scrutinised and judged upon harshly and all that, you know. It's just been a battle, essentially.
So why have they taken an interest in it in particular?
Twins. I guess my partner's on the Maori roll, I suppose. I mean, she's down as a Maori. There's many reasons why. I mean, she's had trouble in the past. You know, it's why.
Your stable household now?
Yeah, very much so, yeah. Yeah, we've got two older girls who I'm the father too, but I'm not biologically their father. But no, things have been great.
So unfortunately, you lost the, I'm sorry to hear that you lost your third child just during labour.
Well, not so, just in the proceedings, it kind of like didn't make it. So it sort of seemed like, from a layman's perspective, it kind of seemed like there was, like they were almost conceived at different times, if you know what I mean? Like just going by how they're incrementally smaller and the last one.
Development of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, sort of after, I think, maybe the 20-week mark, they completely disappeared. So, okay. Which is kind of interesting in disguise. But
Were the two babies that made it? Were they healthy? You know, were the first two?
Well, no, they had to be induced because the little girl, her placenta had run out of. See, my partner also had severe morning sickness. Just she couldn't keep any food down. She actually lost weight when she got during her pregnancy, which is, you know, never a good thing. And, of course, that has, like, severe, causes severe, you know, issues as far as their development and stuff goes, you know, growth retardation and such forth. No, they weren't the best. But they had to induce because she'd run out of food, so they couldn't just bring her out and leave him in there. And so they induced them at 30 weeks, caesarean sectioned at 30 weeks. And, she, funnily enough, was a bit more robust, even though she was only weighed 750 grams, which is pretty small. Like, her leg is about as big as my finger, you know. Like, but she didn't seem to need any, support with breathing and stuff like that, whereas he did.
That's less than 2 pounds for our US listeners.
That's one and a half pound for her, and he was about about 3 pound. Yeah.
Well, so how did the first sort of 10 weeks go?
10 weeks was in hospital, but we got shunted from pillar to post. We were living out west in West Auckland at the time, and they were at the newborn ICU unit in Auckland Hospital. So we're travelling in there daily and stuff. And, you know, as, I think as a rule, like, social workers get involved, like, in that sort of situation, you know, under the guise of help. But then, you know, it sort of never
so
leaves.
So you felt they had an agenda the whole way?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Were they just probing in you? Do they want to know everything about your history? Do they get a
that's the thing. We've been pretty open about our histories and stuff, and like, you know, misspent youth and whatnot sort of seems to come into it as per se, you know. But
and how old are you both?
We're about in early thirties. Yeah.
Okay. Well, so they want to know about your teenage years or something when you're in your 30s?
No. I guess years leading up to it and whatnot. But, yeah, not so much that. It's just the relevancy of their, you know, it's just it's like they're trying to find reasons other than what's in front of them to what's wrong, you know what I mean? As opposed to it's right in front of you, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of like a false social science.
Yeah. It's just we couldn't understand it, and just sort of weren't treated very nicely and stuff as a result, at all. And they did tests and stuff that, you know, we would not agree to or anything, and came up with these with tests that we completely denied because they weren't true. And but they got thrown in there, and we've been tarred with the brush ever since, you know.
So they did tests on your children or yourself, sorry?
Yeah, on the children, apparently.
Really?
Although when we requested these tests, they never eventuated. And not only we requested them, but the first people that, because there was an initial investigation from there, like from Child, Youth and Family. Luckily, that time around, we actually had one of the very few social workers that were working there at the time that actually did their job. And, you know, and now, like, we gave her a hard time in a certain sense, but... on hindsight, you know, we couldn't have asked for a better one because she played by the rules, you know.
So there are some good people in all these agencies, but then, I mean, if you
she doesn't
you
work there anymore. Sort of that way.
I mean, like me and Vinny, we've had Jonathan Irish on the show who had his child abducted 6 hours after birth at New Hampshire Hospital there, and you know. In researching this whole structure, we like to call the New World Order, mate. I tell you what, there are, in just the foundings of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. I mean, it's an entire eugenics operation.
That's right. I was talking to Graham Exler about that yesterday. Yeah.
I mean, and they won't like knowing that, and that's the thing. If these little gremlins get an inkling that you know something like that. I mean, they're just going to hate you with their smiley little beady faces, yeah.
That's right. I mean, because what came up was the fact that we got the two older girls. The oldest girl was vaccinated, like, on her father's request against her mother's wishes when she was young. And as a result, she sort of seems to pick up every bug that comes along. And my partner insisted the second time around that it was never going to happen with her second child. And as a result, Kaney has never been vaccinated at all. And has never had an antibiotic in her life. She's nearly 5 years old now, you know? Like, it just there in itself is a control experiment to prove, like, the, you know, how kind of bad they are.
I've heard that a lot, mate. There's a lot of people on just in this town here, mate, that have not been vaccinated and the healthiest people you know. And, you know, I got shot up when I was a kid, and I tell you, I've got allergies and whatnot, but generally healthy, luckily. But do they try and vaccinate these your youngest two?
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing, you know, and that gets used against you and stuff. And, like, we've just been, you know, I mean, I didn't just sort of take someone's word for it. I mean, you know, people sort of sneer at online research, but I think you can get a lot of information off the internet, both good and bad. And, you know, if you read enough, you can get a fairly balanced, you know, if you're intelligent enough.
It's the world's biggest library, and these people don't have any discernment, so they just go, it's all rubbish.
Yeah, and it's not exactly. It's not just like some hippie out of a house bus sort of saying it. You know, it's like from medical professionals that have done their, you know, time at university and whatever, that are saying these things, you know, like, you know, middle age plus, you know, respected pediatricians and whatnot saying that, you know, the best chance you have for your children being healthy is basically keeping them away from doctors. You know?
Exactly. I mean, the best way to get evidence on anything like this is to go to the largest sample size you can, and that's on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
And let's get the largest frame of reference that we possibly can to look at an issue to get the most accurate results. And if you do that, you'll find that, you know, vaccinations come with a huge amount of danger. And then they have these ad campaigns where they target certain socioeconomic groups and they go, be wise, immunize.
Yeah,
really slick propaganda.
Yeah, because diseases won't travel from Otara up to Remuera. Hey. You know, they'll have a big screening and they'll do it all for free down there, but they won't bother doing the ones in Remuera. What, simply because they'll... The rich people can afford to get it done themselves, or simply because they won't get it done?
Obviously either that, or they're rich enough to know better.
Exactly.
Well, they go to private hospitals, and they don't have to, you know, deal with us plebs. And
according to Graham, he said to me yesterday, I'm talking about it because he was actually a child, youth, and family social worker, and he knows the ins and outs of it, and he's just horrified by it. He actually, yeah. He actually does his job as far as that goes, and, you know, was crucified essentially for it. But he said that, you know, John Key's kids aren't vaccinated, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That would include his daughter, Anna, which I find really funny. The Prime Minister's daughter is called Anna Key.
No, that's good. Honestly,
It is good. Yeah. And back on the topic of your child, now they've taken your son or your daughter,
yeah.
Because you
had son and
had
daughter,
both
son
of
and
them.
Daughter, two twins, yeah, both of them, yeah. When one of them apparently was the only needed to be taken under this supposed necessity for hospitalisation, which we had already I'd already organised with my own doctor. If they bothered to, like, this is all on the say-so of a doctor who never actually assessed her, seen her physically ever, and was just getting second-hand information. Basically, the last bit of, like, on hands-on information that she got was from a nasty lush of a childcare nurse over on the island here. You know, she lost 20 grams, so she needed to go to hospital, you know.
So they kidnapped your youngest two children, of the smallest of the two twins. Is that right?
Just the twins. Yeah.
They kidnapped both the twins.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Nah.
So right now they're in the. So right now both the twins are in the care of Child Protective Services. Is that right?
Yeah. I guess so. What is it? The ministry or whatever it is. Yeah.
We call it the SIFs.
Yeah.
I find
it
interesting how they
family.
Yeah. I find it funny how they name a one of the worst organizations in the government after a venereal disease. Welcome here. Come on down to SIFs. We'll sort you out. And it's just disgusting, really. And the level of involvement here is very interesting, because we've got doctors involved, social workers involved, we have the parents, the children, and it all seems to be working, conspiring together somewhat perfectly, if I might say so, to rob you of your kids, right? And they all seem to be working together. So when they were taken into hospital, I believe your son had a whooping cough and you just wanted to, you know, get him to stop coughing. And then they made up some statistic about how the babies need to be gaining so many grams a day, which was completely off the off the charts anyway, what the particular doctor who you were with was saying, according to your studies here. And so where exactly did it go wrong? I mean, when did you find out that they were really, really lying to you and trying to take your kids?
Oh, well, we've always had that sort of, you know, like, it's what they do. It's what they do, like, you know, as soon as the flags came up and we were involved in it, I was, you know, I needed to know more about it, you know, so I guess the only way I could find out more is online, you know, and, you know, you just type in child use and family and you're going to get at least half of what comes up there is going to be bad press. So it's not hard to sort of get a pretty quick idea on what they're about, you know. And the deeper you go, the more you find.
So
in black and white.
Can you run us through this in a brief way? When the children were born, what period of time it took for them to conspire and get this all going?
Well, they had this initial sort of investigation and stuff, and then that went through fine, and they made us do drug tests and all the rest of it, which we did. You know, we didn't have a lawyer at that stage. We just didn't, you know, we couldn't afford one. We couldn't afford one when we got a lawyer, but we, you know, we got the money from somewhere. But and we did that, and the case was closed. Okay, everything was going along fine, essentially, as far as they could.
And the kids were how old then?
This was before we moved over to Waiheke. They would have been, they would have only been, I guess, corrected. They would have been probably 2-3 months old or something.
Okay.
So we'd had them home 2 or 3 months. Yeah, 3 months, I think it was, because that's how long the investigation was for. Yeah.
Okay.
So then we moved to Waiheke Island, and so everything was fine. We're like, oh, thank God for that. We're out of there. You know, that's over with, because it was really stressful for us. And then we're over in Waiheke, and we had ongoing issues, you know, just simply because the little girl, like, she wouldn't stop, like pooing, essentially, and we didn't know why, and we were sort of told that as a result would get like quite a bad nappy rash. I might add that the hospital's view on it was that when we inquired about it, that here's how they built up a really bad picture. I'll go back to start again. When we were at NICU in town, they moved us from town. We were living in West Auckland. They moved us to the North Shore Hospital for a month.
Well, you'll have to save that until after the break. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, ladies and gentlemen. My very special guest is David Cogler, coming at us live from Waiheke Island, New Zealand. And we'll be right back with some more horror stories for y'all. Please don't desert me.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations, or let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations, have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command, because I can guide a missile by satellite, by satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. With Will on American Freedom Radio, Rush 89 FM Hamilton, and the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Our guest is David Cogler, who's just going to elaborate a little bit further on the incidents of his twins getting kidnapped by SIFs. Now, you left off saying that you had to move them to North Shore Hospital?
Yeah. So you're required to go in there. Essentially, what it's getting at is how they set you up to fail. It's just what they do, and so we got two kids. One of them's at school, and we're having to travel in daily, and they're sort of expecting you there, get your kid off to school, and then trundle up our other child, who we're supposed to do God knows what with, and go up to the hospital and spend like all day up there until it's time to pick up the girl from school. So I then have to go back home from North Shore Hospital and then pick her up at 3 o'clock and then deal with that and then come back up afterwards again. And how are you supposed to like maintain a lifestyle, any kind of life like that at all, and you know, and everyone actually be able to, you know, I mean, so we did the best we could, which was more than most people, you know, like we're in there at least a couple of hours a day, but still that wasn't enough, you know, like
it's yeah, never absolutely.
The costs of doing it are quite horrendous as well. I remember when I had a job labouring in town and I was coming over from Waiheke every day, I worked 50 hours a week and wound up with $250 in the hand after all my travel costs.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. And then we were there for a month until while they were there, the little girl had this this is when they said that we don't bother changing them until their 4-hour cares come round. So they've got a routine where they change them and stuff every 3 or 4 hours. Never mind that she's been sitting in crap for ages, and she's got an excoriated nappy rash that is like something that you'd see on rotten.com, you know, like it's just like it looked like an oversized cigarette lighter had been put out on her bum, you know. It's just, and they get away with that sort of like negligence, and you know, and everything else that, you know, essentially, this is the point I'm getting at, is when we went to the doctor over here in relation to the fact that she's getting nappy rash, it was nowhere near anything near that bad, but we're sort of like getting tired of it, and like, is there something wrong with her, you know? And we were very honest with the doctor. We said, look, you know, we've had issues and stuff and all the rest of it. We just need to be, basically, we just want to be believed. And given the respect to be believed and not instantly sort of like, the, you know, like them taking, they seem to just want a prevailing attitude of wanting to take that it's obvious parent failure, because then they can sign it off like that and they don't have to do any extra work. They don't actually have to look into anything. And he was fine and all that until we disagreed with him, and then it was put down that, you know, that we obviously didn't change her. And all this sort of stuff, you know, which is just rubbish. I mean, we didn't wait till it cared. We changed her on demand, you know. Like, it's just that sort of lying and stuff. And you, how do you compete with that when it's a doctor, apparently, you know? Whoa, doctor, like they're a fucking better person than you or something, you know?
Oh, and by the way, we have FCC regulations that we have to abide by. It's a family show. No cuss words, please, but continue.
Yeah, sorry about that. They slip sometimes. But, yeah, I mean, what's fan here? I'm just trying to lay it out in my mind here. At what time frame did they actually take the children away from you?
They took them away 2 days before Christmas.
Well, so at 6 months old, or?
That would be 7 to 8 months corrected. Like, okay. And, like, the... Boy, like, I'd spent a month up in the hospital with my son, like, at Starship, living at Starship with my son for a month. You know, like, I don't know, you know, how much more dedication you can sort of show than that, you know? I mean, it wasn't a problem for me. It's what I would expect myself to do, you know? Like, it's fine.
Yeah.
But then all the... but then to be accused of negligence and stuff, you know, it's just... Like, it's just mind-boggling, to be honest. Like,
and did the courts rule this? Did you go to court and did they say?
We didn't get a chance to defend ourselves. So all the information that they used in obtaining their Section 78 was all like one-sided, and they didn't even bother talking to our doctor, who actually sees our babies like every week, that on our last visit. And incidentally, the day that they took them, I was due for a visit 2 days from that day, or the day after the next. I was seeing my doctor, and we were going to ascertain whether or not it was necessary for them to go to hospital, you know?
Yeah.
So she was gaining any weight. That was what the issue was. But it was, you know, there's so many.
So they were saying 20 grams a day on someone who's less than, 1,000 grams?
Yeah. I mean, the thing was, you know, it's just, they basically, like I said, set you up to fail. And all you can do is fail, and then you get judged accordingly.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's negligent.
So they come in and took your kids 2 days prior, and you weren't allowed to defend yourself in a court hearing.
What happened was, is I actually managed to call, we had a lawyer, but they did it around the time that our lawyer had gone away for the year. See, so we were denied our right of natural justice, essentially, as that goes, and we...
So December 23rd.
Yeah.
They came and did it December 23rd.
22nd.
That's always a trick of theirs. That's when they set up the Federal Reserve Bank on the 23rd of December 1913, just as a little side issue there, but they love doing things as in disarray, especially when it's something dodgy.
And, And it was at about like 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So
and local police come round and enforce that, did they?
Yep, that's right.
Scum,
yep.
Local police, really?
Yeah.
We'd had a few run-ins with them.
We were talking about earlier about the dog issue. They came around at that stage too, but that was more of a humorous thing because my partner actually told them where to go and they kind of had to leave. But
so is there any genuine reason why? I mean, I have to ask. I mean, is there any genuine reason why the police would have it in for you? Or?
No, I don't think the police can necessarily have it in for us at all. I mean, the police have to do as they're told. Like, it's law. I mean, I've read the law through now, you see. They, you know, on a court order, they have to abide by the decisions of the family court, you know. And that's what the social workers got. You know, social workers came around with the police and to basically there to enforce the removal.
And so who was it who made this final decision? Was it a doctor? Was it a specialist in Auckland? Or was it a local GP?
Paediatrician in Auckland was the one that was making these calls. Now, it was requested by her that it was necessary for Lucia to come in. This is all based on no physical actual examination. They didn't even talk to our doctor, who was actually in contact with the paediatrician anyway. The paediatrician didn't bother telling her about it. It's just really weird. Like, it just, you know, it was unnecessary, completely unnecessary. Like, I said to my doctor, look, whatever it takes, we just want them well. Let's get them well, you know. If they need to go to hospital, so be it. But, you know.
So how does it stand now? 2 weeks later, have you been able to visit your twins?
Well, that's the thing. Like, without any legal sort of representation, you've got to be so careful about what you agree to and what you don't agree to. The thing is, it's all real dodgy. Like, when we tried to lay an objection within an allotted time frame from that place of safety warrant, and we were stonewalled by the registrar at the family court. We were placing an objection. They stalled us. They sent my partner away. With an objection she tried to lodge, basically because when she got there, they rang up SIFs and basically said, oh, they're here to lodge an objection. And then they said, oh, no, you can't file this. And, of course, we don't know. I'm only going on the advice from someone over the phone. And gave us some documents to take away. You have to fill out these. And she brought them home, and we looked through them, and I rang up Hugh, and who was helping me, and... he said, don't fill those out, because if you do, you will actually be agreeing to the fact that they need to be in care and protection. And so I went in the next day with the forms and handed them over. Same ladies, they just put them through, no questions asked. You know?
Yeah. They were just trying to store you.
They stored it. When I looked at when they've got their Section 78 interim custody order, bang, there's the dates. 23rd, when we tried to file our objection, is when they filed their Section 78, and yep. It was sealed on the 24th, so, you know.
They were just trying to get the jump on you, delay you by a few hours. And people wonder why. People wonder why we say there's an agenda out there. I mean, how can someone just be innocently doing their job? That's not even part of the process. They're going, like, outside the bounds. They're, like, bending the rules to suit their own agenda there. I mean, that shows malintent, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly, and
in the court of law, that should.
Sure, but I believe there's a provision in there. There's a reason for that 5 days that the place of safety warrant lasts, and in that time, they have to get this. That it only lasted that long, and they have to get an interim custody order or some other guardianship order. Now, if we'd got an objection and then everything had been done right, they wouldn't have been able to get that. We would have had to have gone straight to a hearing and stuff, but we would have been able to have our objections heard, but we wouldn't have granted that. So as a result, they have custody, full rights, and we're denied any, you know, as far as...
So how long does this last for?
I don't know, to be honest. Like, it's like this time of year, it's like getting info is, you know, well, basically
they've put them in a secure location somewhere, and they're not telling you where.
Well, they have to tell us where. They're in Starship Hospital, apparently. For how long, I'm not sure. Doing what there, I'm unsure of at this stage. We were offered.
Sorry. Sorry, carry on.
We were offered a visitation and stuff, but what happened was is I actually came down with severe migraine on sort of New Year's Eve and was out to it for a couple of days, just intensely sick, like vomiting and carrying on. It was really horrible, actually. But in that time, the day before, we'd halfway arranged to have a 1 hour supervised visit. You know, like it's just that in itself is insulting. And but I'd written to them. You know, I'd sent a fax through saying, "Well, that's fine, but you know, I want to see any documentation that may, you know, what our agreeing to this may entail, you know, any consequences possible, you know, by knowingly or unknowingly agreeing, you know." We never got heard back anything from them about it, which, you know, and so, you know, by agreeing to going to a visitation, perhaps we're there in itself, we're agreeing to them, you get what I mean?
That's yeah, yeah.
You're agreeing to the premise, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the whole... I can't believe that. I really can't believe it.
So I can just see how people...
We can't believe it and we can't understand it because the world's an insane place. And in order to accept or understand insanity, one must be insane. You know, exactly. So the people who understand the world and it's accepted for the way it is and think it's just are crazy, you know, and the ones who don't accept society and do not understand it are the sane ones, like us.
They don't understand it, most people. They just accept it.
It's deemed as blooming, living in the clouds and, you know, little green men and the whole, like, 26 ways of denouncing a conspiracy theorist simply by calling them a conspiracy theorist is one.
Yeah. Yeah. How ridiculous. I just can't believe that they can take your kin away from you, physically take your kin, and this is so in a so-called democracy. Everyone knows that democracies don't ensure liberty. Anyone with half a brain knows that. But, you know, they can just do this, and everyone's like, oh, the state's just trying to care for children.
Oh, they've got their best part.
And now they're going to have their way and vaccinate them with everything under the sun. And, oh, man, yeah. I don't know what to do.
I hope not. We got some documentation from the hospital today which says something about opting off the immunisation program, which is positive, I'm hoping, because that was something that was really concerning me. I don't know if it's, you know, some people it probably wouldn't be a big deal, but to me it's just kind of like if they were to do that against our world, then it's kind of like you're just poisoning our children, and that's just really wrong.
Indeed. Okay, and we will be right back just after this very short break. Ladies and gentlemen, we're breaking it down on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. If you have your kids missing, you're probably very familiar with what we're talking about right here, right now. We'll be right back. VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and we'll respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tino Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so where do you ever stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV, contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to a planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Vinnie Eastwood Show with Will on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting from New Zealand, live from the future, and the future looks bright. Speaking of brightness, our very special guest, David Cogler, coming at us from Waiheke Island, has had his twins kidnapped. It's not a funny incident at all, and I'm sorry if I appear insensitive. But, you know, nobody else will really give you a chance to actually come on their radio shows and talk about it, will they, David?
No, that's right. No, it's not, no one cares about it. It's not some interesting cat on the back of a motorcycle or some other inane, like, rubbish, you know, or rugby.
It's not a random car accident where nobody died, is it, you know?
Well, here's the news today. It's the same stuff spinning around.
There's so many, like, ins and outs, and particularly in our case, and probably in many other cases, like, you know, bits and pieces, and it spins my head around, and, you know, even by talking to you, you probably can gather that I even get myself confused and, you know, like, and get my timeline confused trying to put everything down. But at the end of the day, it's like we've never, like, denied medical attention for our children. We've wanted them always to be well, and we've made that perfectly clear, and we just haven't been believed, essentially. And when we've asked for help, we've basically not gotten it, in a sense. You get what I mean? Like, just as a result from not being believed, we basically just get attacked. So, you know, it's, yeah, like, we kind of wish we'd never gone to the doctor over here, for starters, because we wouldn't be in the position where we are now. We'd just try to battle on through as it was, but we thought we were doing the right thing by, you know. You understand?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation, even at the best of times, to try and get your head around it, because of the fact that it's such a frustrating mess. And, you know, stress and these sort of things, they have an enormous amount of damage that they wind up doing to people's bodies and all of this, that, and the other. So it's probably, I would never wish what's happened to you to happen to anybody, but I do know without question that it does. And it happens a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, most people, they choose to shy away from it because they're scared, or because they don't want to get involved. They don't want to understand the complicated factions of it. They don't want to understand that their government is criminal, that everything's really, really wrong, and these things are being done intentionally. They'd prefer just to not know anything and just hope that it's a mistake.
I mean, it's not an isolated incident. Like, there's actually been a running story in the Sunday Star Times about SIFs and Starship and their prevailing attitude that parents are liars, and and we're not the only ones that are going through this sort of stuff as well. But you know, the surface only gets scratched by it, and
it leads nowhere. All the news stories are designed to lead people into an abyss of nihilism and just uncaring, sympathetic, apathetic, you know, just bullcrap attitudes. Whilst the authorities are systematically being trained. I mean, police pull you over these days and they automatically ask, what have you been doing? Like, where have you been? Automatically. I've been left alone for them this entire Christmas period, which has been great. Last night, I come back from Auckland with the last ferry. I'm driving back home. It's only about 2 kilometres up the road. I get pulled over. Where have you been? Where have I been? I'm out and about. I'm not going to tell you anything. And breathe into this device, but we don't just want your breath. Name and address. And if you give them false information, I can lock you up in a cell now.
You don't have to give them information, though, eh? I heard an interesting one someone said the other day, is that if you say that you have been threatened, you say, are you threatening me? Then the police officer's not allowed to threaten you or make you feel threatened, because then you go, and they'll go, no, and you go, well, I'm feeling threatened. And apparently the guy left him alone, eh? And he sent him on his way, because they're not allowed to do that.
I mean, this cop wasn't even trying to be intimidatory. This guy wasn't even being
just doing his job.
Yeah, this is it's what they're changing. And all these authorities, these dog rangers, and these, they're just nuts. They're just all trained to view the average citizen like a criminal. Like, you're up to something. And then if we view the establishment like criminals, oh, we're real paranoid. But their paranoia is directed onto us. See, it doesn't work both ways. I get these cops pull me over and say, "Hey, conspiracy theorist, what's the conspiracy tonight?"
You know? Yeah. Got any little green men lately?
Yeah, or just everything to do with your job. That's all, pal. Everything to do with the economy. Don't worry about that. That's all accidental. These banks just erected the tallest buildings in every major city in the world by accident. I mean, Boy, it must be nice to be an ignorant douche government servant sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I can't
understand. That's the problem.
I have contempt for them personally, but yeah.
Well, it's a problem.
And I'd like to thank you very much, David, for coming on the show with us today. And
all I can say is that if it hasn't happened to you, like, you know, just don't just look into it and just give people a chance that, you know, that things aren't always as they seem. And I'd appreciate the people that listen to this probably are of that mind anyway. So I'm kind of preaching to the converted there. But it's just, you know, it's just there's you just don't get a chance to be, like, listened to fairly. Justice is what you can, whether you can afford it, really, it seems. So, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which is why we really like to give people the chance to actually be heard on this radio show because, well, nobody else is doing it, really.
You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. If anyone out there can help David, contact us.
Go to the Vinny Eastwood Show.com and fill out a contact form, and we'll put you in touch so you can give him a hand. Coming up next hour, we have, what was his name, Andrew Bridgman, coming on to talk to us a little bit more about chemtrails and recent developments in the Southern Californian desertification process. We'll be right back next hour of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio.